Go here, there, and everywhere with Jeff Blair. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. He has traveled the world to bring you the story. Get it first, fast, and unfiltered. Now, this is The Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
All right, I've always got to check myself a little bit when I have to deal with this topic because it involves Toronto and playoffs, and it's something that I'm really not used to. So you have to bear with me and walk through this with me. The Toronto Raptors start their first round of the NBA playoffs Saturday against the Washington Wizards. Paul Pierce of the Wizards, public enemy number one, or he should be public enemy number one in Toronto. Well, okay, let's face it. Dion Phaneuf's public enemy number one in Toronto. Number 1A, if you want to get detailed about it. Paul Pierce says that the Toronto Raptors lack it. Now, as a couple people said to me on Twitter, what is it? If it is old and washed up like Paul Pierce, then yes, indeed, the Raptors do lack it. But I think what Paul Pierce is saying, and Paul Pierce has given voice to, I think, the fears and maybe in some ways, the concerns of Raptors fans. And that is, can the Raptors take that step forward and win a playoff series? We talked about this all year. To me, nothing mattered this year but getting to the playoffs and winning a round. That, to me, is a sign of advancement. If you can go farther than that, God bless you, Raptors, have at it. But if you can win one round of playoffs, I'm going to be able to sit back and say, hey, the program is progressing. Everything's going well. This season, admit it, Raptors fans, this season was all about winning one playoff series. That endeavor starts Saturday against the Washington Wizards and Paul Pierce. I'm asking you, Paul Pierce says the Raptors don't have the it factor. Well, tell me what you think the it factor is, and tell me if you think the Raptors can find it. I'm going to ask Masai Ujiri, general manager of the Raptors, the very same question. Then we're throwing the phone lines open to you. What is the it factor, and can the Raptors find it in time to knock off the Washington Wizards?
The Jeff Blair Show is on the air on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Join the conversation with Jeff on Twitter using the hashtag Blair Show or call 416-870-0590. Now, here's Jeff Blair.
What is it?
It, or whatever it is. I have to ask Paul what it is.
How do you define it?
Do the Raptors lack the it, whatever the it is?
San Antonio has it.
Get it.
LeBron and the Cavaliers have it.
Get it.
Last year, Miami had it.
Get it.
You got to go out in this league and prove it to people that if they don't feel like we have it. So, whatever, we have to find out what it is.
Is it good enough to beat the Wizards in the first round and go into the second round? I think that they have it.
Get it.
And that's what I probably meant by saying that it factor.
He just better hope, however it got to work, win or something, so he won't see what the it is.
I honestly don't have enough money, to respond, to him. But I think if I did have enough money, everybody knows exactly how I would respond to it and how the whole of Toronto would respond to it.
That was Masai Ujiri yesterday during his news conference. Poor Masai. People are trying to goad him into saying something like he said last year. Masai Ujiri joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Masai, I promise I'm not going to try to tee you up for that. I promise.
Then maybe I should say it on your show.
Well, that'd be great. You could go ahead and do it. Hey, are you going to address the crowd tomorrow?
You know what? I'm thinking about it. I think to show our guys some kind, our fans some kind of appreciation. I think we do have a great relationship with them. Sometimes it's just good to acknowledge them. So regardless of what all the chaos is, and all the talk is, even just to show them appreciation for sure.
Masai, do you have to win a playoff round for this year to be considered a success from your point of view?
No, not at all. Not at all. I think the team has I think the team is growing. I think we can see that it's trending in the right way. Could we do stuff, you know, like to try to get better or for the future, or try to figure it out, you know, like how to put yourself, you know, like in better position. Those are things we will look at, you know, like, but I think to put a label on it and say, you know, this is a failure or this is a success. Well, honestly, Jeff, we're not there, you know, like as a team, as an organization. We haven't been in the playoffs, so I don't know, what was it, 6 or 7 years, mm-hmm. and we get back in. We won the division a couple times now and increased wins in games, and we're growing. We're growing as a team, you know, like I think that there are many things that's so encouraging, and some of the things we don't do so well, we'll try to get better.
You know, Paul Pierce's comments aside, let's forget Paul Pierce off the court. On the court, he's a guy who does have an ability to leave his mark in a game. He apparently has talked to Randy Whitman about possibly playing some power forward in this series. His average, if you look at the last, at this season, he averaged a career low in minutes. He averaged a career low in points. He averaged a career low in rebounds. But it sounds as if, almost as if part of that was a plan to maybe try to keep Paul Pierce fresh for the playoffs. His personality aside, Masai, what he says aside, can Paul Pierce still impact the game on the court?
Yeah, for sure. You know, like he's one of those players, you know, he's a Hall of Fame player, you know, like a phenomenal basketball player mind, you know, like, yes, he's a little older, but you know, he can in spurts, and I think in different games, you know, like he can win games, he can affect games. There's no doubt about that. We have to come out and play him, you know, like and guard him and challenge him, you know, like on both ends of the court. And I think I think our guys are up to that, and yeah, our guys are fearless, you know, like I don't think they fear those kind of guys anymore. I don't think the NBA is. There's still a couple, you know, like a couple players like that. I think you can put it up in one hand, you know, like that. Can win you a game continuously, you know, like win you a series, win you like 3-4 series. I think they're just a handful of players like that in the NBA. There are also a handful of players that will win you games. Paul Pierce is one of those guys that can win you games, I think, you know, and we know that, you know, like, but we're ready mm-hmm. for it. Yeah.
You know, Masai, when you look at the Raptors and compare them to the Wizards, I know one of the things Randy Whitman talked about in the Washington Press on Thursday in particular was the ability you guys have to go small and the impact that has on what he has to do. He's talking in particular about Nene and how it can take him out of the game. You know, I look at the Raptors, I think you guys had the fewest total of 40-plus minute games for any playoff squad in Raptors history. Clearly, you guys use your bench a lot. Dwayne is certainly not afraid to go small. Do you think that is, at the end of the day, Masai, that's the thing that might be your biggest asset in this matchup, is depth and the ability to go small against them? Are you still going to have to beat them? You know, are you still going to have to rely on your big men to beat their big guys?
I think generally you have to rely on that. You have to rely on that, knowing that the game is going to slow down. You know, like in the playoffs, Jeff, it's going to require, you know, like pain points. You know, like mm-hmm. scoring inside, because I tell you what, when that gym gets loud and crazy in both arenas, you know, like sometimes the rim gets smaller, right? And we feel, you know, like we've covered, you know, like a couple of the grounds. You know, we have to tighten up defensively. But in terms of outside shooting, I think we're going to be a threat. I think inside also, I think Jonas, DeMar takes it inside a lot, and so does Kyle, attack the rim. And then the shooters, I think that's really important, getting to the free throw line. So, honestly, you know, like I think our bench is a strength for us. But the one thing you have to keep in mind, Jeff, is it's not a game anymore now. It's become a series, right? And these guys just prepare. It doesn't matter whether you go small, big, you know, like I think teams are going to come out and win a game, lose a game, go back, prepare for the next game, and try and capitalize on the other team's weaknesses, and the other team is going to try and get better. That's the joy and the beauty of like a seven game series and the playoffs.
And it's also, I think, isn't it, Masai, kind of the, it explains a lot of the mental pressure that you have in playoffs in any sport, because you're seeing the same guy over and over and over again, and after a while you're sick of seeing each other. And yeah, especially if the game goes seven and you know each other's, I mean, if it's like anything, you play basketball, you play against a guy for a while, you can tell if he's favoring an ankle or if maybe he's just not uncomfortable or not comfortable that particular day. You can pick all sorts of things up in a seven game series, can't you?
There's no question. There's no question about it. And I think that's going to be one of the big keys is how do we prepare? How do we adjust, you know, like to this, to Washington and what they are going to do sometimes? What are you going to do, and are you going to continue to do it? Sometimes teams have failed because, you know, you stick to your guns. Sometimes teams have succeeded because you stick to your guns, you know. So, and that's the pressure. That's the beauty. That's why we do it, right? You know, like if it was easy, we would all be wearing rings right now, right? Damn near is not, you know, like it's one of the hardest things. One of the real hardest things to do in the NBA, win a championship, win playoff series. It's tough.
Masai, what's the biggest difference in this Raptors team compared to the team that went into that playoff series against Brooklyn last year? Like, from a distance, I look at it and I think, you've got a guy like James Johnson. You didn't have James Johnson last year. You got Lou Williams. Didn't have Lou Williams last year. What's the biggest difference, though, to your, from your point of view, between this team and last year's team at this time?
I think just mentioning that in terms of personnel changes, you know, like we feel like our bench is a little stronger. There's no question about it. But the experience of those that playoff series, you know, like what DeMar was expecting to know or expecting to come out last year, you know, what Terrence was expecting, what Jonas was expecting, you can't buy that in the market. You know, it's just something that they have to experience on their own, and they did last year. The intensity, you know, like the pressure, the you know, the adjustments, all that stuff, you know, like I think it was a game one. DeMar didn't play so well and came out brilliantly, like all the rest of the games, and was phenomenal in that series. That playoff experience last year was really huge for us, and we have to capitalize on it as a young team.
Masai, it was great of you to join us today. I know it's a hectic couple of days. Best of luck in the playoff series, and go get the Wizards.
Thank you. I appreciate you, Jeff. Thanks for having me, man.
Take care. It's Masai Ujiri, general manager, president of the Toronto Raptors. So don't forget, that game is a 12:30 game at the Air Canada Center, as playoffs are here. And we know what this city was like last year during the Raptors playoffs. We know what the ACC was like. This is difference this year. I think this is a really winnable series. You know, no disrespect to the Washington Wizards, but I like this matchup. I like what the Raptors can do to the Wizards. If you're going to the game, go crazy. Make it uncomfortable for the officials. Make it uncomfortable for the Wizards. Really make it uncomfortable for Paul Pierce, because just think that. I know there are a lot of you out there. There are a lot of you out there who can't remember a Toronto team winning a playoff series. We've got kids who can't remember a Toronto team winning a playoff series. If you've been looking for a team to hit your wagon to, you've been looking for a reason to get excited, then the Raptors are your ticket. And it all gets going tomorrow as the Washington Wizards pay a visit to Toronto, and Paul Pierce gets another shot at the Raptors. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. Paul Pierce says the Raptors lack it. And what is it in the NBA? Is it the type of reputation that allows you to get close calls? We all know about NBA officiating in the playoffs. Is it the type of reputation that allows you to get close calls? I don't know if the Raptors have that. I really don't. I will say this. I've seen times this year where they, particularly Kyle Lowry, have gotten calls that the Raptors have not gotten in previous seasons. I think they've got more of an edge to them than they've had in the past. Is it a record of playoff success? That sort of intangible swagger that comes from having won a title? Yeah, I think maybe that's what Paul Pierce is talking about. And the Raptors, they have no counter-argument to that. This is year two of a rebuilding project or a retooling project. You heard Masai Ujiri say, there's been progress this year. The plan is proceeding apace. Maybe that's what Paul Pierce is talking about. The it factor. Championship rings. Paul Pierce has it. We know that. We know that Paul Pierce has it. As Masai Ujiri said, he's a Hall of Fame player. He has it. But again, I look at this matchup. Toronto's got better depth. Toronto, if they can spread the floor, can create real issues for the Washington Wizards. Now, if it becomes, as quite often the case in the playoffs, a half-court game, then I think that might fall a little more in Washington's favor. So the question we're asking this morning is, what is it? What is the it that Paul Pierce is referring to? Maybe Paul Pierce, and this would so be in character, wouldn't it? Maybe Paul Pierce is just kind of stepping up and taking all the attention away from John Wall and Bradley Beal and putting it on him. Make it about me. Make them hate me. Make me be the guy the media is coming to. And that's entirely possible. I mean, I'll tell you what, I would take Paul Pierce on my team in a heartbeat, even at this stage of his career, just for what he brings. So, Paul Pierce says the Raptors don't have it. I'm asking you, what is the it to which he is referring? And can the Raptors find it in enough time to win this series? Victor in Milton, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Top of the morning to you, Jeff. It's amazing we're on the same wavelength. Here's the thing about it. It's something that we in Toronto don't really like to talk about, but you and I have talked about it a number of times, and you mentioned it off the top. The it is implicit bias towards Toronto. Mm-hmm. It's not something that is overt, but it's there. And if it's not Toronto, it's some other small market in the States, but especially Toronto. And that it factor, let's face it, Paul Pierce, I don't think he's not that deep. Here's a guy that said Toronto was one of his favorite places, but he went to Washington. Mm-hmm. So until you have like a Vince, let's say if you took Toronto, this team right now in the last 2 years, and you put them in New York, do you think he would have made that comment, they don't have the it factor?
Oh, my God, no.
No, there would be it all over this, and I'd put SH in front of that, in front of this team in terms of the amount of attention that they would get. So when I say implicit, I mean the referees, yeah, it's Toronto, but they're not part of the big boy. So all the network people, the officiating, the NBA people, we're on an island out here. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that should be used as an excuse. I think we should use it to our, like what Masai said, F everybody. You know what? The referees can't goaltend. So go out. Don't let that it factor affect their play. Be fearless. Go out and just play your game, and whatever happens, happens. And I'm hoping the players don't get too upset when they're at a disadvantage, because it's going to happen. It is going to happen. Thanks a lot, Jeff.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Victor. Yeah, I think Victor and I are on the same wavelength there. I'm not going to get into conspiracy theories. It's just the NBA, it's a reputation league. And I know you've gotten tired of me saying that, but the fact of the matter, it is. Watch a game. It's a reputation league. Guy with a rep goes up against a guy with no rep. who's going to get the benefit, the officiating? And I think the only way you do that, frankly, the only way you get that it, and I think Victor's right, that is the it to which Paul Pierce is referring. The ability to intimidate officials. The ability to get things to go your way. That only comes from winning. That only comes from having big-time winning personalities on the team. You slap Paul Pierce on this team, on this Raptors team, I don't care how many minutes Paul Pierce gets. If Paul Pierce is on this Raptors team, the Raptors have it. I think Paul Pierce was referring to himself. That's what I think he was referring to. I think Paul Pierce, I disagree with Victor. I don't know how bright Paul Pierce is. Here's the thing. I don't think that you succeed as an athlete for a long period of time in any sport unless you've got a certain amount of innate intelligence. I think Paul Pierce knows that he is it. The Raptors do not have Paul Pierce. They don't have that guy who can look at the referee and go, come on, man, I'm going to the Hall of Fame. The hell's up with this? That is exactly what the it is. The it is a guy like Paul Pierce. How do the Raptors overcome that? They overcome it by winning a playoff series against Washington. They overcome it by going up against one of the big boys, by going up against the Cavaliers, or by going up against the Bulls and playing their ass off, and if not winning the series, at least taking it to 6 or 7, giving a good account of themselves. And I think this is what Masai is getting at. That's why this thing isn't done yet, because the Raptors don't have it. You need to find somebody who gives you it, or develop somebody who gives you it. And I don't think they're there yet. I think Paul Pierce is absolutely right. Doesn't mean I don't think the Raptors can win this series. I'll tell you what, I think they're going to win this series in 5 or 6 games. It's not going the distance. I'll tell you that. It is not going 7. Somebody's winning this sucker in 5 or 6. I think the Raptors can win this thing in 5. They win the first game of this series, they can put this puppy away in 5. I have no doubt about that. The it factor is Paul Pierce or somebody like Paul Pierce. Shane in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Good morning, Jeff.
Morning.
I think Pierce's comments are a little bit of a shot across the bow of DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry. I think the it factor that Paul is referring to is that guy that strikes fear in your heart with the clock winding down, the LeBron James, Westbrook, Steph Curry. And I think he's just saying that, you know, the Raptors have some nice players, some second-level all-stars, but we don't have that persona yet, that guy who you watch the Raptors in late clock situations, and Lou Williams dribbles the clock down to 4 or 5, makes 2 moves, and jacks the 3. And it's because you don't have that one guy that you know is getting the ball. You don't have that one guy that can rise above the game itself. And Pierce is right. You know, I don't find at all anything wrong with what he said. Until the Raptors can show that they have that closer, that guy that can hit the clutch shot, we don't have that it factor on this team. And then that's what the playoffs are all about. It's about developing it factors, right?
Yep. I think you're right. Appreciate the call. Nathan Thomas on Twitter. Kyle Lowry got the it. Ross don't. Can you contact the Winnipeg Jets fan base to get a creative in-arena it chant? That from Chad the Dad. Daniel in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. What's up, Daniel?
Well, after listening to your comments and the calls, I kind of do agree with what he's stating, which is that we don't have a consistent dynamo in the city since Vince Carter, someone who's going to give your team that presence where people feel as if they're in the upper echelon and they have like a Damian Lillard and all of these younger names, because that's who the it factors are these days. But I was telling your producer that for me, I really think that the it factor is winning. And like you said, they haven't won a playoff series in a long time. And in order for them to do that, they don't necessarily need that dynamo. What they need to do is like what Masai Ujiri said, which is play defense well. And he didn't say it in those terms, but he said that in the playoffs, it's going to be a grinded out game. And we all know that after watching basketball for so many years, that this game is going to slow down. It's going to become a half-court set basketball type game where these guys are going to have to play defense. They're not going to be able to run and create points off of easy fast breaks. They're going to get fast break points, but it's going to be because they play defense. And if they play defense well, and I agree with you, I like the matchup against Washington. I didn't like the Milwaukee matchup, which is a younger, more athletic team. I think that the matchup against Washington is a good matchup because they have only a few factors that they have to worry about. Washington doesn't have the depth. And I think that if they're active on defense and they play defense well, they're going to get easy buckets and easy buckets inside. And they're going to be able to win the series, like you said, in five or six games. I mean, I think it'll go six. I think that if they, like I said, again, I'll reiterate, if they play defense well, they're going to win in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Just like every other team does.
Yeah, no, that's the way I feel about it, too. The Milwaukee, I mean, I went back and forth in this because I know a lot of people were aching to get Milwaukee. I would rather have this matchup. I'm comfortable with this. I mean, look, I would have been comfortable with any first-round matchup but the Bulls and the Cavs because those are the only two teams that I look at as being still out of the Raptors league. Could the Raptors beat the Hawks in a series? Hell yeah. Absolutely. They could beat the Hawks. I'd take that series in a minute. But I think the Bulls and Cavs are, you know, they're just a notch above that. Anyhow, I'm sure we'll have plenty to talk about Monday. Game two is on Tuesday. It's a big weekend for Toronto sports. You've got the Jays at home, the Atlanta Braves. The Jays have to get some things figured out. And we'll talk to John Gibbons and Baseball Central about that, by the way. They've got some things they have to get figured out. You got the Jays at home, of course. You got the lottery, the draft lottery. The Jays can, or the Leafs can end up, what is it? They can end up drafting first, fourth, or fifth. Basically, very heavy likelihood on fourth. So, unless my theory of a conspiracy holds true, and it should. Seriously, the NHL, you should make sure Connor McDavid gets to Toronto. He's wasted any place else. I mean, he is. He's just wasted every place else. It doesn't matter. You put him in Arizona, he's wasted. Nobody in Arizona knows who the hell Connor McDavid is. They're still trying to figure out whether the puck's inflated or not. They don't know who Connor McDavid is. Carolina, Connor McDavid. Buffalo, yeah, you could send him to Buffalo. But Toronto is where Connor McDavid would have maximum impact. Connor McDavid ought to be a Maple Leaf. He should. He doesn't belong anyplace else. Anyhow, the draft lottery is Saturday. And there's either going to be a lot of real happy Leafs fans Monday morning or a lot of really disappointed Leafs fans. If the Leafs get the fourth or fifth pick, you know, there are people out there going, all right, we tanked for this. Basically, we're going to get another Nazem Kadri. So we'll deal with that on Monday. A lot to worry about over the weekend. Gord Stellick will join us at 10 o'clock. I'll ask Gord about that. We'll take your calls at 10:15. We'll take your calls about the lottery. Because I'm saying I think Toronto fans are being set up for a major disappointment on Saturday. How will you feel if the Leafs don't get Connor McDavid? How will you feel if they get the fourth or fifth pick? Is it all going to have been worth it? Now you're going to have Connor McDavid coming into your freaking arena next year, playing for Arizona or Buffalo. Worst case scenario, Buffalo. Connor McDavid is down the highway in Buffalo, and you've got, you know, the return of Nazem Kadri up here. Anyhow, we'll talk about that at 10:15. Those are the two big events this weekend, along, of course, with the Raptors game against the Washington Wizards on Saturday. The Blue Jays start a three-game series against the Atlanta Braves, continuing this homestand. Lost 3 of 4 to the Tampa Bay Rays. Some disturbing signs, I think, for the Blue Jays in that series. Not panicking, but there were some disturbing signs. Ben Nicholson-Smith is baseball editor of Sportsnet.ca. He's going to join us in studio. We'll talk a little baseball when the Jeff Blair Show continues on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
That little speaker on your phone doesn't stand a chance. Subscribe to the Brady and Walker podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
.420 is on Monday, isn't it? That's right. Or I should say Monday's 420. You going to celebrate 420?
It's my girlfriend's birthday.
So are you a lucky man? Are you a lucky man?
I will be celebrating, but not in the way that some other people will be celebrating.
You're the luckiest. I mean, I'm just, you know what I'm doing? I'm giving you a standing ovation right here in the studio. Ben Nicholson-Smith's girlfriend was born in 420.
It's true.
How come you haven't married her?
Well, who knows? Maybe maybe we'll have a special way to celebrate if that ever happens.
I don't even know. Let's just stop the show. Let's stop the show and go out and get drunk. That's probably the best thing to do. It's Ben Nicholson Smith. So you're my boss if you're the baseball editor at Sportsnet.ca. I should treat you with a little more respect. I'm sorry about that. So Evan Longoria says that he was thrown at intentionally, which of course he was, by Marco Estrada. And it's kind of interesting because they're former college teammates at Long Beach. Did you have any issue with what happened last night? I mean, I've got to tell you, I thought Chris Archer was throwing at guys.
Yeah, I it's hard to tell, you know, if someone's throwing at guys. But the reality is the Blue Jays are getting nicked. And at a certain point, it's really not surprising when you see Evan Longoria get hit. And that's why, you know, I saw it in Mark Topkin's story. It's like Longoria doesn't even have any hard feelings toward Estrada about it because it's, at that point, just what you're expecting.
Yeah, yeah, I think, and I should make that clear, that in the story, Longoria is absolutely, essentially what he's saying, I kind of expected it.
Basically.
He's saying, I kind of expected it.
I think we all did, whether it was Longoria or somebody else.
All right, so Aaron Sanchez pitched last night better, certainly more velocity. I mean, I think in the first inning he hit 97 six times. I don't know if he hit 97 in his previous start. What do you do with Aaron Sanchez, though? Because I think it's pretty clear that either there's not enough bullpen depth or John Gibbons doesn't have a lot of confidence. Let me rephrase that. There are guys in the bullpen that John Gibbons doesn't have confidence in. There's a kid, Scott Copeland at AAA, and Shai Davidi wrote about it. The Jays love the fact that he's a ground ball machine. Putting two and two together, Ben, I'm almost getting to the point where I think we're going to see Aaron Sanchez back in the bullpen at some point, maybe even by the end of this homestand.
Yeah, you do wonder about that. And the fact that his command is so shaky as a starter really puts the pressure on the Blue Jays to make a decision. But I do think, you know, you have this guy, you brought him up, you stretched him out as a starter all spring long, and I think you want to give him more than two chances, especially because he showed big improvement yesterday versus what he did in his first start against the Orioles. So I don't know how long that leash is, but I would assume it's going to be a couple more starts for him to try and figure things out, especially because whether it's Estrada or Copeland, it's not like they have a great option to potentially replace him.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that is the thing. It's just a gut call on my part. We'll have John Gibbons on Baseball Central, and I'll ask him that. But there's some things this team has to get sorted out pretty quickly, aren't there? And I'm not saying that to panic. I think maybe the answers are there. They just got to get it sorted out.
For sure, and especially with Jose Reyes, you know, leaving the game early yesterday, that's going to be a big question for this team. I think Sanchez is a huge question for this team because, you know, the way that curveball breaks and throwing 97 with sink, I have to think that if he can get it over the plate, and even if he doesn't know exactly where it's going, if he can just get it over the plate, he's going to have some dominant starts for the Blue Jays. But at this point, you know, you see the ball sailing over Russell Martin at times. He just doesn't have enough command the way it's currently shaking out to be that guy.
All right, so you mentioned Jose Reyes. He hasn't been put on the DL yet or anything. Again, we'll hopefully know more when we talk to John Gibbons today. It is his left side, and he has told people that it basically impacts him when he just bats from one side. Big concern for this team, though, without question.
Definitely, because even though Ryan Goins got a hit last night and Steve Tolleson made a nice diving play at short the other night, those guys aren't even close to capable of producing the way Reyes can. And I think that kind of drop off, if it were to be for 10 days, okay, maybe you get by and you can figure something out. But if it were any longer than that, then you really start to run into trouble because those guys are just, there's just a huge drop off between what Reyes can do and what Goins and Tolleson can.
Yeah, and I don't know if any of you saw the footage of his reaction after he came out of the game. I mean, he's sitting and he slams his helmet down on the ground, and then gets up and goes into the clubhouse. He was pretty devastated, and that kind of concerned me because you've seen enough baseball guys who have quote unquote nagging injuries and aggravate a nagging injury. They generally don't react that way.
Exactly. And this is something that seems to have gotten worse for Reyes in the last couple of days. And for Blue Jays fans, I'm sure it feels like deja vu. Every single one of the 3 years that he's been here, he's, you know, dealt with some form of injury. Whether he goes on the DL or not remains to be seen in this case. But it's been tough for him to get off to that really strong start here.
In conversation with Ben Nicholson-Smith on the Jeff Blair Show, what other takeaways did you have from the first four home games? What impressed you? What didn't impress you?
I thought Norris was pretty good. He wasn't perfect, and I think that he's going to be a work in progress over the course of the season. But it kind of makes sense that Norris will have to evolve as the season progresses, because on a lot of teams, he would be in the minor leagues right now, and there was a possibility that if things had worked out differently with Stroman and the Blue Jays, Norris could have started the season in the minor leagues. So I think he's going to have to learn on the go. And from what I've seen so far in his two starts, it seems like he is learning on the go. Obviously, the Sousa blast, I mean, he's, no matter how big a prospect you are, if you leave a fastball over the plate, there's the potential you're going to get hit hard. But I think that Norris is showing me enough where I say, I think he can evolve as the season goes on and become a pretty good starter.
What'd you make of Russell Martin's week so far?
Well, he's not hitting, and that's the big thing. Defensively, he looks pretty good. It's, you know, it's 10 days in or 11 days into a five-year contract, so I'm inclined to take a step back, but at the same time, it's not encouraging. It's not good by any stretch, but, you know, to say that it's representative of what he's going to do going forward, I don't think that's quite fair. I think that we know who he is, and offensively, he's probably still going to finish the year with an OBP close to 350.
Do you think we may have underestimated the Tampa Bay Rays? Again, it's probably not a good idea to ask a question after you've just seen a team take three of four from the team you cover in their ballpark. But I mean, this is a team that I think they had eight or nine rookies or eight or nine guys making their major league debut. They've got a couple of starting pitchers who were hurt, and we all know that their starting pitching is the strength of that team. And they've, you know, Tim Beckham, I thought, had a real good series. Sousa had a good series. Kiermaier had a good series. I'm wondering if maybe we didn't shortchange the Rays a little bit. And yeah. I'm pleading guilty of that right now.
Well, Sousa looks incredible. I mean, it seems like they really have something on their hands in Steven Sousa. Kiermaier, too. And Beckham should have had two home runs. Because that one that Pilar caught, really, it should have been a home run for Beckham as well. So, you know, that's pretty encouraging for them. I still think as long as you're trotting out Erasmo Ramirez to start for you, and I'm sure he won't get too many starts, but it kind of tells you where their depth is. I don't think that they look like a great team right now, but if they can hold it together until they get Smiley and Cobb back, then you start to look at a team in the Rays that would have probably the best starting rotation. You know, you look at Archer last night, he was just dominant. He was dealing, and I think that that's the kind of performance that they're going to need because the offense for them probably isn't going to be there.
What do you do with Kevin Pillar when Michael Saunders comes back?
I think he's still going to get a lot of playing time.
Yeah.
I think he is. And I don't know exactly how it's going to shake out. But in Saunders, you have a guy who is coming off a knee injury and who hasn't historically hit left-handers all that well. Mm-hmm. So maybe you mix in Pillar against some lefties in left field. You can have him in center to spell Pompey. You can even put him in right field and put Batista at DH.
John Gibbons opened that possibility. I think on Tuesday he talked about possibly giving DHing Jose to give him some sort of break, get his feet off the turf.
And I think it makes sense. So I think you combine that. I foresee Pilar, I don't know where you sit on this, I foresee Pilar playing 4 or 5 days a week for this team.
Yeah, I was sitting down. I was actually talking to Shai about this the other day. And I mean, there are some guys that a manager will go out of his way to try to get playing time for. And based on what we've seen from Kevin Pilar, my sense is that's probably going to happen here. Is that it's not that they're looking for an excuse to get him in the lineup, but they kind of are looking for an excuse to get him in the lineup. And he isn't a guy that'll, you know, that'll sit at the end of the bench and not play for 4 or 5 days. And then the manager will look down and say, I need you to go pinch hit. Now, I don't think you're going to see that with him. It's going to be interesting to see how John Gibbons manages that along with DeHonor Navarro. And of course, and he's still got a guy like Danny Valencia there. It'll be interesting to see how he balances all those decisions out.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that what Pilar has proven, I don't know if we know what kind of a hitter he is at this point, but I think he's proven that defensively, he's probably better than what we were giving him credit for.
Totally.
And I think at the bare minimum, he is max effort out there defensively all the time. And, you know, there are pros and cons to that. I mean, ask Bryce Harper. He was run into walls himself and had DL stints as a result of it. But Pilar is not going to slow up. I think I think the Blue Jays like that too, a guy who's just going max effort all the time.
Well, one of the things John Gibbons used to talk about last year, Ben, is how sometimes he'd look out in the field and he'd look at a team and he'd say, I've got a lot of dead ass. And that was his phrase. I've got a lot of dead ass guys out there. I mean, I was looking at Colby Rasmus, and I mean, Ghost was there in that group for a while as well. And you don't get that sense from Kevin Plyer. There is a sense that something could happen when he's out there.
Yeah, he's anything but a dead ass.
Yeah. Ben, it was good of you to do this. Should be an interesting weekend. The Braves are in town. We'll, of course, have all the games on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And on Sportsnet, Ben Nicholson-Smith is a baseball editor at sportsnet.ca. Thank you for doing this.
Happy to do it.
Gord Stellick will join us. What happens, Toronto, if Monday morning you wake up and you're drafting fifth in the NHL draft and you don't have Connor McDavid or Jack Eichel? I think I know what happens. It would be fun doing a show that morning. Gord Stellick, host of Hockey Nation, joins us, and we'll take your calls. We'll ask you the doomsday question. What if the Toronto Blue Jays or the Toronto Maple Leafs not only don't get Connor McDavid, what if they end up drafting, you know, like fifth? What do you think the city's reaction will be to that? This is the Jeff Blair Show. This is Sportsnet 590 The Fan.